Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Abby Bolaños in San Francisco, and here are your California headlines. Two new bills introduced this week aim to address the pollution in the Tijuana River. State Senator Steve Padilla, who introduced the bills, wants to assess the role industrial waste plays in cross-border pollution. The first bill would require multinational companies of 2,500 employees or more that are licensed to do business in California to publicly disclose their wastewater discharges. The second would prohibit the development of landfills anywhere within the Tijuana River National Estuarine Research Reserve. And the agency that regulates fishing on the West Coast has given preliminary approval to a plan that will reopen California waters to salmon fishing this year on a limited basis. After shutting down the salmon season completely last year, the Pacific Fishery Management Council's proposal would allow commercial fishing for Chinook salmon for 10 days in June. Fishing would reopen near San Francisco only in September and October. Recreational salmon fishing would be limited to just 5 or 6 days a month from June through October. The limited opening is meant to protect Chinook salmon populations that have crashed due to drought and water diversions. When the Biden administration opened a new immigration court in the Bay Area city of Concord last month, it was part of an effort to cope with a nationwide backlog of more than 3 million cases. But as KQED's senior immigration editor Tyke Hendricks reports, the spending deal just reached in Congress actually cuts the court's budget.
President Biden asked Congress for a big expansion of the immigration courts, 70% bigger, with more judges to decide deportation cases more quickly. Instead, the spending bill he got is smaller than last year's. Retired San Francisco immigration judge Dana Marks says that cuts to the bone at EOIR, the acronym for the courts.
There's a need for expansion, and EOIR is desperately undersized and underfunded. So every penny counts.
California Senator Alex Padilla says the budget cut made by the Republican majority in the House is short-sighted if they care about managing migration at the border.
You can't have it both ways. We can't say we're trying to reduce the backlog for asylum applications or anything else if we're trying to cut the capacity of those same departments and agencies that are charged with securing the border and enforcing our laws.
Analysts say the number of judges would need to double, and it would still take 8 years to clear the backlog. For the California Report, I'm Tyke Hendricks.
Water is a key ingredient in brewing beer, along with hops and barley, but you rarely see it mentioned on labels. Water is just water, right? Well, not all producers feel that way. In fact, one Napa Valley craft brewer goes to extremes to source water from wells and springs throughout the region to use for different beers. Tina Caputo pays him a visit to find out why.
I'm riding in a van with Niles Ackerley, the owner of Mad Fritz Brewery in St. Helena. We're driving up a winding two-lane road among the vines to one of his favorite springs. Ackerley does this on a regular basis, collecting water in a 350-gallon tote from wells and springs around the valley. While lots of beer producers adjust the composition of their water to suit different beer styles, what Ackerley is doing could be considered, well, a little bit nutty.
Well, we're at about 2,000 feet elevation. We're just outside of the little town of Angwin, and there's a spring that's been there for I don't know how many decades, probably centuries, really. What's cool is that this spring comes right off into the side of the road on a little pull-off, so that's where we're headed. Okay, we're pulling over right now. We're gonna have to just hike a few hundred feet, not too far.
So we've just parked the van on the side of the road, and we are walking on a precariously small pull-out.
Woo!
Here we go.
So, you got, it's a simple little kind of cistern-like thing.
Water gushes from a spout, and Zacherly catches some in wine glasses for us to try. The water tastes cold and refreshing, just like you'd expect mountain spring water to be.
The water itself has a really pure nose. It's not sulfurous. It's very clean. In the palate, it's really soft and plush.
If Zacherly sounds like he's talking about wine, it's no coincidence. For the past 20 years, he's been a winemaker in one of Napa Valley's most famous districts. Back at the brewery, we compare our newly collected spring water to the St. Helena Reservoir water Zacherly uses for many of his brews.
Yeah, so the Angwin water is just very, it's kind of like a laser. It's very precise, very clean. It's very smooth and polished. And then the St. Helena water has more minerality to it.
Zacherly likes the softer Angwin water for German-style beers because he feels it softens bitter notes. For IPAs and Belgians, he uses a hard spring water from a nearby vineyard property to add minerality.
We kind of pick and choose beer styles to play with these waters and just have fun with them.
Sampling the waters side by side, I can taste a difference, but it's not the kind of thing that jumps out at you. I can't help wondering if the distinctions don't get lost among the hops and barley.
I know it makes a difference, but it's very subjective. It's very, very subtle.
For Zacherly, it's more about the story of where the water comes from. It's part of something he calls origin brewing.
It was always part of the fingerprint, the fabric of origin beer. Like, where does our water come from? Where does our beer come from? Our grain, our barley, our hops? All these elements play a role in the personality of the beer.
And even if the impact in the glass is practically undetectable, he says that to him, it's still worth the extra effort of bringing in different waters.
Yes, some might think what I'm doing is a little extreme. I just feel like I want to continue putting that other element into the beer. And perhaps that's just a story. You know, maybe that's what it all is. Like wine, you know, beer can have a sense of place.
For the California Report, I'm Tina Caputo in Napa Valley.
Support for the California Report comes from Monterey Bay Aquarium, inspiring conservation of the ocean through amazing live exhibits and global action to protect the ocean from plastic pollution, climate change, and overfishing. The Wesley Foundation, investing in California's underserved children and youth. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy works to create a healthy, resilient, secure world for all, on the web at theschmidt.org.
And that is the California Report for Tuesday, March 12th. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Madi Bolaños. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.